Today, one of the issues that I also mentioned earlier that we hear about cotton, but one of the problems with cotton in the eyes of the young generation is that it is not innovative. Cotton is not part of the whole discussion that these young people hear when nanotechnology is being mentioned. So my objective today was to look at and give a little bit of background about nanotechnology, look at what the potential that is discussed in research when it comes to nanotechnology, and then kind of figure out what actually made it to the market. Okay, because well, we want to. There's a lot of fuss around nanotechnology, but what is on the market and how it is applied? How is it applied to textiles in general, and how does it apply to cotton? So, just from the perspective of fundamental definitions, when we talk about nanotechnology, it usually refers to the use of objects that have at least one dimension between 1 and 100 nanometers. So, for example, when we talk about nanofibers, the formal definition of a nanofiber is a fiber that is less than 100 nanometer in diameter. In practice, on the other hand, fibers that are less than 100 nanometer in diameter are very hard to achieve in the different spinning or using the different spinning methods. So typically, there's a broader definition of nanofibers that actually considers any submicron fiber as within the realm of nanofibers. So a couple of examples here of nanofibers compared to in the first image there to some synthetic fibers that are about 20 micron in diameter. This is one contrast that is very commonly used to compare what nanofibers represent compared to the human hair, for example, to here, this is a particle of pollen. So nanofibers have been used for purpose of filtration a lot because of this fine diameter, fiber diameter, and porosity. But when you look at nanofiber products that are spun from a macroscopic perspective, they look a lot like membranes, right? So like plastic film or a membrane. So this is an example of something we spun using one of the methods that were available to spin nanofibers. I'm going to give a couple of examples of that on the next slide. So this was spun using centrifugal force spinning. This is another example that was spun using electrospinning. So when you look at it, it is more of a membrane. It is not a bulk fiber sample. These are membranes that are very easily used in laminates as a component of a multi-layer system or a multi-layer fabric system. So the thinking about these as fibers is kind of counterintuitive when you look at the actual product itself. It is more a membrane. So I mentioned the example of electrospinning. This is one of the most commonly used tools to spin nanofibers. So the basic idea is to have a polymer solution that is injected and then that is charged with a high voltage. As soon as the polymer fluid jet, enters the electrical field, it is stretched very, very, very quickly into the nanoscales. And that's what typically produces some of the membranes that I showed earlier. The second method that is used, and this is also a method that entered into commercial application, and is centrifugal force spinning. And the principle of the centrifugal force spinner is very simple. We know it in open-end spinning, for example, when we talk about cotton. As you can see there, the spinneret is very similar to a rotor in open-end spinning. But the way this works is kind of the cotton candy machine, where you have a melt or a solution of polymer of some sort, and then you feed that into that spinneret, that rotating cup, that typically turns anywhere up to 20,000 RPM. And once you reach the spinning speed, the jet or the fluid will be ejected through the spinnerets or the orifices there that lay that are on the periphery of the spinneret, and then it solidifies due to the aerodynamic forces in the spinning chambers. So that too will accumulate as a membrane in most cases. There are different ways of collecting centrifugal force spun fibers. I've seen some of these collected as a bulk material as opposed to a membrane. These are two examples. There are more and more methods coming up. I recently talked to a guy at Kent State University who was mixing or who tried to mix liquid crystals in a polymer solution just with a paint gun and tried to use that as a paint over some substrate. He ended up producing nanofibers. So there are many, many other potential possible methods to spin those nanofibers. So I mentioned earlier filtration is one of the major applications for nanofibers. The reason for that is that very, very small pore sizes, which results in good filtration efficiency, but because of the porosity, the drop in pressure is very low compared to other filtering media. It's been mentioned a lot in research about tissue engineering. So there are nanofibers used in as scaffolds for tissue engineering, for wound dressings, and so on. As far as we're concerned, as far as the apparel and clothing industry is concerned, most of the discussion is around barrier membranes, so use of nanofiber membranes as waterproof, breathable barriers. So, for example, I mentioned earlier that these are membranes that can be used in multi-layer fabric systems. That has been actually something that was put out on the market as a competitor for Gore-Tex. Okay, so we get that Gore-Tex is made of expanded PTFE membranes. The recent competition that came on the market actually uses electrospun nanofibers as a competition for the Gore-Tex membrane. And usually there were products put out on the market that use polyurethane as opposed to PTFE as well. So that is one of the major, if not the only, applications for nanofibers when it comes to fabrics and textiles. Now, the second category of nano objects that is used and that is most commonly used is nanoparticles. Same definition, same principle. We talk about nanoparticles as those that have at least one dimension that is less than 100 nanometer. So examples of that, when you look at the research, the textile research, there's a lot of talk about carbon nanotubes. So those are defined as one-dimensional nano objects or one-dimensional nano tubes. They can be single-walled or multi-walled nanotubes. These are pure carbon. The diameter is typically less than 2 nanometers for the single-walled tube. And they can go in length up to 5 micrometers. So there's, again, this is a kind of nanoparticle that is talked about a lot in research when it comes to application of nanotechnology in apparel. A second example I'm going to mention is the nanoclay. This is considered as a two-dimensional particle because it's a plane. Actually, those are platelets. As opposed to rods or tubes, which is one-dimensional. So in this case, the thickness is in the nanoscale, but typically there are two dimensions that are in the microscale. So that is an example there of a nanocomposite material or nanocomposite nylon fiber, which we actually produced in my lab. That uses nanoclay as a flame retardant. We're going to see an example in the next slide. And then part of the discussion as well are metal nanoparticles, and those are probably the most prolific in utilization when it comes to research related to textiles. So we see there an example of silver nanoparticles of different dimensions. Sometimes those nanoparticles combine multiple materials, so you see there a hybrid silver-silica nanoparticle that has also been applied in research about textiles. And typically those are defined or mentioned, referred to as zero-dimensional particles, because all of the dimensions are in the nanoscale. So all of the research the research is very prolific about application of those materials in textiles. So we see things about antibacterial properties. I mentioned earlier water repellent or waterproof materials. Electrical conductivity, for example, carbon nanotubes have been used as a nanofiller in nanocomposite fibers. To make fibers conductive, flame retardants, thermal capabilities, and the list is long. Okay, some of the most interesting things, for example, the non-drip inherently flame retardant fibers that use nanoclay. That is an example of electrospun fiber with nanoclay embedded in the fiber mass. Which makes it this was made of nylon, which makes it non-drip and a flame retardant. This is an example of surface-bound silver nanoparticle. Silver is typically used in antimicrobial and biocidal functions. So this example is taken from a wound dressing that uses silver nanoparticles as a potent material there. Now, we hear a lot, there's a lot of research about titanium dioxide. It is typically mentioned in UV protection. It is mentioned a lot in self-cleaning clothing as well. So when we talk about self-cleaning, there are different things there. There's the clothing that does not allow stains and stain-resistant clothing, but there's also clothing that uses the photocatalytic properties of titanium dioxide to degrade stains in different conditions. So that also is a topic that a hot topic came back as a hot topic in research very, very commonly. Okay, so there's based on all of this, there's a lot of potential for nanotechnology. What I'm going to do next is see what this potential has taken us in terms of products in textiles and cotton in particular. To do this, we looked at a couple of databases that are available. There are databases today because of all of the concerns that many people have with the safety and the environmental impact of nanoparticles in general. There are databases that actually inventory new consumer products that come on the market and that somehow, in some function, use nanoparticles or nanoproducts in general, or nanoobjects. So we use these two databases or these two inventories. The first one is what is referred to as the consumer product inventory. Unfortunately, that is the U.S.-based inventory, and it has kind of been defunded in recent years. So the inventory goes up to 2014. There's a much better and much more up-to-date Danish inventory that is funded by the Danish Ministry of Environment or whatever the formal denomination is for that, and that is up-to-date. Actually, has been updated in December 2018. So when we look at these inventories, we can see that in terms of consumer products in general, there have been 3,036 products inventoried in terms of products that use nanotechnology or that claim to use nanotechnology. 61% of those are in the health and fitness category, or fit within the health and fitness category. That is the category that includes clothing. Okay, so when we break that down further, we find that clothing represents 23% of all of the health and fitness category, or all of the health and fitness consumer products that use nanotechnology. So there are about 425 clothing products that are currently available in the market that use nanotechnology in some way. Okay, breaking that down further, only 66 entries out of the 425 of those, which means about 15%, contain cotton or some. Percentage of cotton. So the percentage there is relatively low. When we look at the targeted functions of these products, of these apparel products available on the market, or the nano-enhanced apparel products, the major function that is sought is antimicrobial or anti-odor. Next, we find water repellent or stain resistant. There's quite a bit of mention of strength and hardness. Sun protection is very common, or comes next, not very commonly, but it still appears, and then wrinkle resistant. Now, I want to use this to compare the kind of materials or the kind of nanoparticles that are used in non-cotton products, non-cotton clothing, and then in cotton clothing. So surprisingly, there's this bamboo charcoal or charcoal nanoparticles that have become very, very popular in recent years for properties such as anti-odor, properties such as thermal radiation, infrared capture, or things that are mentioned in the claims and the descriptions by the manufacturers. So there's quite a bit of that used in the non-cotton materials. There's a little bit of that used in cotton materials. When you look at cotton clothing that is in nano-enhanced, there's a little bit of that used, bamboo charcoal. Okay, carbon nanotubes, although some of the most popular in research, very little in actual products. So very little in non-cotton products and nothing in cotton. The carbon nanotubes have not been used in cotton apparel, on cotton textiles. gold nanoparticles actually have been used a little more frequently than carbon nanotubes, only on non-cotton products. There are no cotton products that use gold nanoparticles. Same thing for polytetrafluoroethylene or PTFE. Non-cotton products have been inventoried that use it. Silicon is another particle or additive that has been used in non-cotton product. And then we come to silver. This is probably the most commonly used nanoparticle or nanoadditive in apparel in both non-cotton and cotton products. So silver is very popular in terms of research, but it has also reached the market. It is available in different products or consumer products in the market. Titanium, very little. We hear a lot of talk around titanium, and titanium, the self-cleaning thing, has been a big or created a big buzz when you look at self-cleaning or the claimed safe self-cleaning capabilities of titanium. It has been around for over a decade now. That research has been around for over a decade, but nothing has hit the market so far. Now, the big chunk of all of this is this here, okay? So when you look at what the manufacturers, what the apparel manufacturers put out there in both cotton and non-cotton, they'll tell you or they'll claim that some of the products are nano-enhanced in some way. They place nano in the description, sometimes in the name of the product, without necessarily identifying what kind of nano enhancement has been used. Okay, and that is very, very disturbing. And we're going to see just an example in a little bit. But I wanted to show you first the use the, or some of the examples of products that use silver nanoparticles, and most of these are typically in either socks or in athletic wear. Okay? Now, to go back to the issue of unidentified nanoparticles or unidentified nanoadditives, the thing is, this is not at all a regulated practice. There's no regulation that requires from manufacturers to name what kind of nanoadditives are used in any of the apparel products. Typically, the add-ons are very minimal, so they fall under the legal threshold to mention the component on the labels. Most of the time, these claims or these inventories just rely on claims provided by the manufacturers. So one of the examples of those unidentified nano-enhanced clothing products is actually 100% cotton T-shirt. They actually call it the nano T-shirt. The company calls it the nano T-shirt. And you can buy this on Amazon for less than $10. So this is a wonder of innovation, of technology, that is just 100% cotton. And it is a nano T-shirt. Why is it nano? And kid you not, I contacted the manufacturer myself to ask about why is this product called nano. It is actually just that, 100% ring-spun fine cotton. This is all it is. It is a cotton jersey, ring-spun. And their answer was, we call it nano because it's very light. So we should all rest assured that we've been doing nanotechnology, that cotton has been innovating in nanotechnology for centuries now. Right? This is the definition of nano. So in any case, this puts out or emphasizes one thing, is that manufacturers sometimes use buzzwords for marketing purposes that are not necessarily substantiated in reality, that are not necessarily substantiated by the actual product. So There's a lot of that in the unidentified materials there. Okay, there's no way to tell how many of these products are fake nano enhancements, but there's probably quite a bit of that there. Now, the thing is that that can be, or that that nano enhancement can go both ways, because it's a buzzword, but it can also raise concerns about among consumers. There are many consumers, for example, when asked about technology, who are concerned about the safety and health of those products, of those nano enhancements. They're also concerned about the environmental impact there. So just to summarize all this, there's a lot of potential about nanotechnology. It's it has been around in research for decades now when we talk about innovation in textiles. But there's a large gap between what we see as a potential or what has been seen as a potential in research and what the actual reality of the market is right now. There's a huge gap there. Only 15% of the nano-enhanced clothing product mentioned cotton, so very little there. Silver nanoparticles are the primary technology that is used in both cotton and non-cotton products. However, the bulk of the inventory is just unidentified nano-objects there. Sometimes unsubstantiated or unsubstantiated claims of nano-enhancements in the products. So, in conclusion, there's a huge gap again between the potential and the reality of the market. There's a total absence of guidelines and of regulations on how those manufacturers and how those companies use or claim to use nanotechnology. And that can be a cause of concerns for consumers. With that, I'm going to thank you for your attention. And I'll be happy to...